In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. We are just about 1 week away, brothers and sisters in Christ, from entering into this holy season of Advent. That's a period of 40 days prior to the Nativity in the flesh of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's a time for us as Christians, despite what you see on television and read in magazines and see in the newspaper and on billboards, it's a time to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord. And our church prescribes certain things for us to do in order to prepare ourselves. It is not a time to overspend and indulge and eat and drink and be merry. Rather, contrary, it's a time to quiet ourselves, to focus on our prayer life, to think about our relationship with God, and to reach out to other people in need as God wants us to. See, Advent is a lot like Great Lent before Easter and all the fasting seasons of the church. We're given a little period of time to focus on the thing that we're supposed to be doing all the time. The church gives us a little window and says, here, take a little time and do it right. So during Advent, we prepare ourselves for the coming of Jesus Christ. The flavor of the services are a little bit different. I remember in seminary my first year, we had daily matins. We always read the Gospels, and second-year students preach. They start preaching, so I was going to have to preach for the first time. And it came during Advent, my turn. But there was no Gospel, because they read Old Testament readings. They read the Psalms. They read Isaiah. They read Proverbs. They read the prophets. This is a way of getting us into a frame of mind and a frame of heart where we're expecting Jesus Christ. We're kind of setting ourselves back to a time when he didn't come, and how would we receive him if we prepared ourselves for his coming in the flesh. So this is what Advent's about. Advent for us, and the reason we have it, of course, is because God is calling us to something. He's calling us to a life with him. He's calling us to a life of holiness, a life to share with him through relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ, and a sacramental life in the church, which is the body of Christ. A sacramental life in the church. And we see very interestingly how this works in the readings for today. We'll start with Luke chapter 8. We hear kind of two stories, but it's really one story. It's one narrative, and they're definitely connected. The story about Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, and his daughter. And then it gets interrupted by this other story about a woman, an older woman who's sick. She's had a flow of blood and can't be healed. And then there's a healing that goes on. And after that happens, we go back to the story of Jairus' daughter. So it's really one story. And if we need proof of that, we can find some clues here in the Gospel. 12 years is mentioned twice, right? No coincidence there. The daughter of Jairus is 12 years old and she's dying. And this woman who is ill has been ill for 12 years. Also, the daughter of Jairus is his only daughter. And there's sort of that focus on having a daughter. Jesus tells the woman, the older woman, after he heals her daughter, he addresses her daughter, your faith has made you well, go in peace. So we see the connection between the two stories. They flow together as one. And between the two of them, as I was saying, we have a nice illustration of a sacramental life in the church. You know, this life in Jesus Christ we live daily. We never say that it's something we get at one time and we're in. We certainly don't achieve anything in life. The epistle tells us that through the works of the law, no one will be justified. No one gets any credit for keeping works of the law. That doesn't bring about life for us. The only life there is somehow identifying with what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. We have to believe in him. We have to identify with him. We have to belong to him. And it starts for us, Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ. It starts for us at our baptism. This is our first step. It doesn't seal the deal. It starts us on a path, and it's a path we walk every day in our lives. We could see in the gospel today just kind of a reference to it. Sometimes people ask that haven't seen baptisms in the Orthodox Church. We baptize infants. Most of the time it's infants. We submerge them in the water three times. Three times. We insist on the triple submersion. And then we bring them out again. And they say, well, why three times? And why does the head have to go all the way down? What's that for? What does that mean? For us, that's our identification with Jesus' death. A child comes into the world, and his parents, his sponsors, want to bring them into this Christian life, has him somehow identify with the death of Jesus Christ by going under the water. You know, and we see this in the words of the epistle, too. This is a prayer that we read during the baptisms. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So we die to ourselves on that day that we're baptized. We die to sin and to the fallenness of our human nature. Three times in the water, Jesus Christ was 3 days in the tomb. There's sort of a symbolic parallel there. And then we're raised up out of the water because it's our belief, and St. Paul teaches us, that if we die with Jesus Christ and we identify with his death, we will be raised up with him when he comes back. And his resurrection from the dead will be ours. So that's how we enter into this new life through Jesus Christ, new relationship with God that he's calling us to. Baptism's the first step. The young girl, the 12-year-old girl, was dead. And then Jesus takes her hand and she arises. She gets up. It's like getting out of the water at baptism. It's like bringing her out of the death that we experience in our first death in the sacramental life of the church, in our baptism. After that, we are sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit and are chrismated. That happens also during the baptism ceremony. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're anointed with that chrism. And here it says that the Spirit entered into her and she arose. It's like baptism and chrismation are happening right here in the narrative. And then the third thing that happens at our baptism when we bring people in is we are immediately called to the heavenly banquet. We're called to the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We partake of his flesh and his blood in the Eucharist. And right here, immediately after she is risen up, Jesus commands that something be given to her to eat. She is already now going to participate in the life-giving body and blood of Jesus. And just as a little footnote, that word here in the gospel, that Jesus commands that something be given her to eat, it's the same word in the original texts that St. Paul uses when he gives direction about the very thing we say we're talking about, the Eucharist. How to approach, how to prepare yourselves, how to partake of the body and blood of the Lord. So a strong connection to the sacraments here. But you know, it doesn't end here. It doesn't end with the day we're baptized, however many years ago that is for some of us, or just depends on where we are in life. We always say it begins on that day. We enter in to the life in Jesus Christ. It's a walk. It's a progress. It's a process. It's something we have to live every day. And one of the prayers, I'm sure several of them in the baptism, ask that we are able to keep our baptismal garment undefiled until the day of judgment. You know, we put on the white garment and we pray that God would keep us and keep the child and keep the newly illumined undefiled. But you know, in truth, we don't see that happen because no one's without sin. Nobody's without faults. Nobody doesn't fall on that path. It's a process. It's a journey. It's steps one day at a time, living a life in Jesus Christ. It's not just once and it's over. And we have to live this life and endure, the Gospels tell us, till the end. And then we will be saved. So we all fall. We all have mistakes. We have issues and things we're dealing with, crosses that God gives us to see what we're going to do with them. Well, what do we do about them? That's the question. And do we see it in the gospel here today? I think we see it in the middle story, the one that interrupts Jairus' daughter. This woman approaches Jesus from the crowd. She is sick. She has an issue of blood. She spent all her living on physicians and cannot be healed by anyone. Remember, physical infirmity in the Gospels is always for us a sign, manifestation of sin, some sort of something not being right, you know, just how it is with us too. You know, we have sin in our lives. This woman has sin in her life. And she has so much faith that she simply touches Jesus' garment and she's healed immediately. So her faith is what brings her the healing. And then I really love how this is worded, the very last part of that middle paragraph. How should we approach God? You know, we have sins, we have faults. Sometimes we don't want to confront them. Sometimes we're ashamed. Sometimes we don't think other people are going to understand. We don't think the priest is going to, maybe he's going to look at us funny or cast us out. Not knowing that though we're all in this together, and that each one of us has something to bear and something to confess to God. The church calls us to a sacramental life and offers us confession, a way of making things right, saying, God, this is what I do. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to change. I want to be the person you created me to be. And so, what should we do? How should we approach God? When the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. We have right here in the Gospels today, brothers and sisters in Christ, a confession before the church, glorifying God in awe and humility, begging his mercy, and then telling all the people that, yes, I was sick. This is what was wrong with me. This is my sin. And then going out and proclaiming it to other people so that God may be glorified. Telling them what God has done for us. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. We receive healing in the church. We should share that good news with other people. Take it out there and glorify God so that other people might come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved, which is what God wants for us. So a wonderful, wonderful gospel lesson today. Baptism, chrismation, the Eucharist, and then the thing that we do, the Eucharist as well, but the other thing we do, hopefully on an ongoing basis, see our sins, recognize them, and bring them before God, and then start over again so that we might be healed. This is given to us in a sacramental life in the church. This is what God is calling us to, our whole lives from the beginning all the way to the end, and especially now during the season that we have of Advent. Because as we say, it's a time of preparation. It's a time to make room in our lives for God and to allow him to build us up into the person he intends us to be. There are tools we use, as we know, and you'll see if when you picked up your bulletin, there's a flyer out there that has a fasting chart. If you're interested in knowing what the church prescribes on certain days for the fast, guidelines about how to engage in fasting, you know, don't do it without prayer. Don't do it against your will, because if your heart and your will is not aligned to it, you will only be miserable. You'll be hungry all the time and probably sin even more. So hopefully we'll make use of that, brothers and sisters in Christ. If you have any questions about the fast or about disciplines, please come and talk to your priest and see what's right for you. But we thank God today for allowing us to enter into this holy season. We pray that he would make us strong, that he will allow us to focus on not the externals, not what the world is shoving in our faces right now, you know, spending money and having parties and being in excess and really overextending ourselves. We seem like we're overextended all the time throughout the year, and then they want us to do that again around the end of the year, even more so. but really focus on our prayer life and our life in the church, that we would come to God prepared and ready to receive Him at His holy nativity. So let this be our prayer, and let us thank God for the time and the liturgy and the service today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.